This special episode is part of our 2020 Chamber of the Year Finalist Series, where you get to hear from some of the top chambers across the country. I hope you find great value in this series, but first, the intro. This is the Chamber Chat Podcast, the show dedicated to chamber professionals to spark ideas and to get actionable tips and strategies to better serve your members and community.
And now your host, he was born in Sacramento, California. He's my dad, Brandon Burton.
Welcome to the Chamber Chat Podcast. This is episode 75, and this is our fourth interview in our 2020 Chamber of the Year Finalist Series. And for any of you who might be new to listening to Chamber Chat Podcast, I'd invite you to check out our Get Started page, which would be found at chamberchatpodcast.com/start. And on that page, you can get access to some non-dues revenue ideas for your chamber, which I know are important right now, as well as access to our free chamber podcasting guide. So if you've ever considered doing a podcast for your own chamber, it's a free guide to get you started there. But again, that's chamberchatpodcast.com/start. So our guest for today is James McCoy. And James is the president and CEO of the Forsyth County Chamber of Commerce in Georgia. Over the last 15 years, he's led several successful campaigns to gain voter approval for over $2 billion for education, transportation, and public safety infrastructure improvements. During his tenure at the Chamber, the organization has worked with over 300 economic development clients that have announced the creation of over 20,000 new jobs and over $2 billion worth of capital investment in Forsyth County. Born in Franklin, North Carolina, James received his BA from Wake Forest University and his MBA from the Mike Cottrell College of Business at the University of North Georgia. James is a past president of the Rotary Club of Lanier Forsyth and is a Paul Harris Fellow and District 6910 Chairman of the Trustees for the Georgia Rotary Student Program. He's a member of the Board of Directors and Treasurer for the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute and is the past chairman of the board for the Baldridge Boys Lodge, past president of the board for the Forsyth County Arts Alliance, past chairman of the board of North Georgia Community Foundation, and founding chairman of the board for Mentor Me North Georgia. He's also volunteered for that organization as a mentor for 15 years. James is an avid fly fisherman, and he loves chasing trout in the North Georgia mountains, as well as in his native western North Carolina. We will get into our discussion with James about what's making the Forsyth County Chamber stand out to be recognized as a Chamber of the Year finalist as soon as we get back from hearing from our sponsor. Chambers are not considered for Chamber of the Year without having great programs and steady streams of non-dues revenue. I want to introduce you to a great affinity program from Swipe It. In partnership with Chamber Chat Podcast, Swipe It is one of the best credit card processors in the business. With the Swipe It Affinity program, you can save up to 40% on your credit card processing fees at the Chamber and help your member partners to do the same. Chambers who take advantage of the Swipe It Affinity program can add thousands of dollars to their non-dues revenue annually. Please visit chamberchatpodcast.com/cc for more information and to request your complimentary cost savings analysis from the experts at Swipe It. The first 20 chambers to respond will qualify for free equipment to get set up. Again, visit chamberchatpodcast.com/cc to start swiping with Swipe It. All right, James, we are back. If you would, take just a moment and say hello to all the chamber champions out there that are listening and share something interesting about yourself so we can all get to know you a little bit better.
Sure. Well, hello, everyone. Thank you, Brandon, for inviting me on and hosting this. It's a great opportunity, and thank you for doing what you do to to help support our profession and our industry. It's really resources like this are really important, and I know I value it a great deal, and I know my colleagues do too. And so thank you for doing that. You know, I think for me, an awful lot of my life, I think probably much like many of you, my life does center around the chamber and my work with the chamber. Probably I think the most interesting thing that a lot of people do not know about me really is not so much me, it's my wife. She is her entire career has been built around the arts, and specifically wig and makeup design, largely for opera companies. She toured with the Lion King for a couple of years. She has lived all over the world, really, was also a childhood sweetheart of mine. We graduated from high school. She went her way. I went mine. We both had very different lives, but we reconnected a few years ago. And her mother had actually been my eighth grade school teacher. So we reconnected a little bit later in life, and have had a great time with our marriage and our life together, and are having a great time.
You must have been a good student, or else that would have never flown.
I was a mediocre student, but a great startup. That's good.
Well, it's nice you can ride your wife's coattails with her her wig design and opera career. That's pretty neat. That is very interesting, and not many people can say that they toured with the Lion King. Yeah, that's pretty neat. So why don't you take a few minutes and just tell us a little bit about your chamber, the Forsyth County Chamber, maybe the size, location, budget. That way listeners can kind of get a better perspective from where you're coming from as you talk about what's making your chamber stand out and some of those programs that you're putting on right now.
Sure. Forsyth County, Georgia is just north of the city of Atlanta. In fact, the city of Atlanta falls into Fulton County. We share a southern border with Fulton County. We have experienced a great deal, particularly in the last 20 to 25 years, double-digit growth through those years as Atlanta has grown, our community has grown. Much of that has been residential growth, the chamber's role in that has been really primarily to focus on working with our school systems to ensure that those are absolutely top-notch and leading the nation in quality. And really getting an economic development program up and running. Our chamber, largely up until about 25 years ago, worked the way a merchants association might work, and really changed as the community began to change. Forsyth County is about a community of about 250,000 people. Our chamber, we have about 1,000 members. We have a budget that is just shy of $2.5 million at the moment. Although, as we're enduring COVID-19, that may change a bit as the year continues. But we are also the economic development entity for the community, the sole economic development entity for the community, as well as the sole tourism development entity for the community. We do not have a separate Convention and Visitors Bureau that is housed within us as well. And we have a staff of 10. We have a couple of positions that are unfilled, so normally we would be at about 12. And you know, our service area really we see as the main corridor that moves through Forsyth County to our south and north. It's called Georgia 400, and we really see our service area as the 400 corridor. There are other chambers, of course, great chambers along the corridor as well, and we do partner with them, but we really do see our service area as being larger than just our community boundaries. But we are also the economic development entity, and that really is a big driver in our focus of service delivery for the community. We operate in a similar capacity that an outsourced vendor would for our city and county government, executing both economic development and tourism.
All right. So you guys are kind of that one-stop shop with chamber and economic development and tourism, and really have a lot of hats to wear there.
We will tell you, it's been I've talked to a great deal of my colleagues, and I'm sure some of you are listening to this thinking, oh my gosh, how do they make that work? But really, it truly does. It works incredibly well for us. We have aligned the interests of the chamber, economic development, and tourism nicely, and the community has continued to be very supportive of it, as has our membership and elected leadership.
Yeah, it is nice to have it all under one roof too, instead of dealing with other organizations. I think there's pros and cons to it, but I can see the benefit for sure. So why don't you take us through some of the highlights of the chambers that apply for the Chamber of the Year, submit a synopsis about your chamber and kind of some of those highlights. If you could just maybe briefly take us through those highlights. I imagine there's some economic development attention in there, but I'm just taking a stab at it. But why don't you guide us through that?
Sure. Well, we probably the thing I would want to mention first is our work in economic development. We expanded our partnership with our strategic partners in economic development, our schools, county government development authority, and universities and technical college system. We expanded that enormously. Really, that's been over the last several years, but particularly in the past year. For the first time, we led with the Development Authority and county government, the development of a new economic development plan for our community focused on growing the commercial tax digest, increasing job opportunities within the community, increasing visitor spending and investment in the chamber as well, and investment in economic development. So that really changed the nature of how we operated and did business. When you are in an organization that is doing tourism, that's doing economic development, that is doing the work of a chamber, aligning the interests of those are really important. And so another facet of our a proposal and application was highlighting how we align those. We actually borrowed something from the manufacturing world that is a strategic objective matrix that makes sure that we are through all of the work that we do, that it's interwoven together so that we're maximizing the benefit to the community, to the businesses, and to the to our investors, and maximizing the opportunity for business growth and job growth in the community, and that was something that I was very pleased that the board readily adopted and adapted to, that the staff I think really readily adapted to, but more than anything, it really gives us a framework to how we can look at this broad work of the organization. And I will tell you, for those of us who have been in the chamber business a little while, it seems a little wonky to be borrowing something from manufacturing and something that is called an objective strategic matrix. May not sound a lot of fun, But it was an incredibly valuable tool and exercise, and we highlighted that that work in our application.
So can you tell us just a little bit more about the objective strategic matrix and kind of what that looks like, and kind of from the outsider looking in?
Sure. It looks like we use an Excel, really. It's just a giant Excel spreadsheet, and it's built around a square in the center of the sheet that is your mission statement. And without going into the architecture of it, and of course, I'm happy to share this with everybody. It's worked for us. I suspect it would work for many other organizations, particularly if you have a diverse service offering. But what it does is it asks you to what are your biggest objectives as an organization? Forget about the service areas, forget about the tourism, economic development, but what are your big objectives, multi-year, where are we going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever time frame you're working on. And it really forces you to limit those to those three big goals. And then the matrix then walks you through how to take a look then at what are our goals for this year, through each department and through each service area, and how do they align to those longer term goals? And then what are the tasks we're going to be doing for the year that contribute to the annual goals that in turn contribute to the longer term goals. There are elements in it that of course assign responsibility and timelines and budgets and all the fun stuff that comes along with that. But essentially it looks like a big square, and you kind of go in counterclockwise position around it. It does take a little time. We broke our staff meeting when we first did this. We did the exercise with our staff, and we broke that over two or three afternoon staff retreats. But the outcome of it was very positive. And then we engaged our executive committee and board of the chamber in that discussion. It really, I think, resonated and made a lot of sense to folks. And it really has held us in good stead. I mean, I can tell you it is a different kind of organization. It is a much more focused organization, a much more focused work that we've been doing as a result of just that one change.
It helps you digest your goals to where you can do it one bite at a time instead of trying to take on that whole elephant, it sounds like.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And the other part of that too is, often in organizations where chambers where you have some diverse service areas, those service areas get really siloed. The economic development folks are not sure what they have, in terms of goals in common with the tourism folks. The chamber membership folks don't really see, in terms of the programming and services, what everybody else is doing as it relates to them. And what it does is it provides one piece of paper, or one platform that everyone can sit down and look at, okay, well, this may be primarily a departmental objective for economic development, but there's some benefits for tourism here too. Let's align some of those tasks from tourism to economic development, or vice versa. And what we found is it's really helped us from a membership retention and investment standpoint. And it's helped us really from a team development standpoint. I mean, we're working together as a team better as a result of that, because the silos are largely gone.
Mm-hmm. More synergy.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
That's good. So what are some of those other areas that were covered in the synopsis?
Sure. The other areas that we highlight, our organization, after about 35 years, we changed our name. That was no small undertaking. Folks felt very strongly about our name, but we had been the Cumming Forsyth County Chamber of Commerce for about 35 years, and that was largely representative of the city of Cumming. That's the county seat for Scythe County. Changed our name as well as our brand and logo. But we also, as a result of that, were able to develop a new brand and logo for our economic development efforts as it relates to the partnership, so that it was something separate from the chamber. It's all housed within the chamber. But the partnership itself needed its own identity. And that has been more than just a brand. It has really become a way of life and a way of working for us. And we highlight that work as well. We also was a many year, in fact, almost a decade long initiative, but from the very, very beginning to end. But we also, Georgia has an economic development tool called Community Improvement Districts. They are commercial property owners are able to tax themselves to create infrastructure that they decide upon. And so we work very hard in the primarily the business part of our community, or the heart and soul of the business part of our community, to create a new CID. And now that's been almost a year old, and they are out doing some remarkable work that is really changing that area and that community to support further growth of business and the infrastructure that supports business.
Awesome. Is there maybe a couple of examples, one or two examples that have come from the new CID that, or maybe things that are in the works that you can share with?
So, I think we have all had the experience of being on an interstate highway and taking an exit, and that exit is not a great example of what we would want our community guests to see as a representative of the rest of our community.
And been on a few of those.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I think we've all had that experience, and whether it's in our community or in another community. And so that's been a challenge for us as the community has grown. And honestly and candidly, as both local government and state government investment in the aesthetics of roads and highways and corridors has been depleted. And so, and there is, that does have an impact on property values. It has an impact on your community brand. And so what the CID has done is develop private maintenance agreement with our state government to be able to do some landscaping improvements and maintenance improvements, and where the state was picking up trash and mowing and that really being it, and them doing that maybe once a month through the summer. Now they'll be using a private landscape company who will be mowing once a week and picking up trash twice a week. And that isn't to mention the hardscape improvements that really improve the overall aesthetics, so that it sets the right tone for that quarter. That's a small project, but it has a huge, huge impact. There are some safety, traffic safety, issues that they're also resolving. There's some intersections that need some improvement that have been on the books for a long time, but not been funded, that they'll be able to fund. Longer term, they're building, and they'll be the leader of building a new interchange in the very south part of the county, along the county line, that will help alleviate a lot of congestion in the area, and because of there being such a high concentration of businesses along this one exit. Rush hour for us is a serious issue, not just at that exit, but at all of the exits. But it will provide a great deal of relief for the employees coming and going, and reduce drive time for most of those companies' employees by as much as 20 to 30 minutes a day, and that's meaningful, and that means dollars, and so we're. The CID is very focused on that, and I suspect that many of those are going to be long term projects, but those are some highlights.
Yeah. Now, those are great examples. You know, what I love about doing this podcast is my whole goal is to introduce the listeners, I call them chamber champions, to people and ideas that can help them better serve their chamber and their community. And being able to do this Chamber of the Year finalist series, we're really looking at some of the best chambers that we can kind of model after. So with that in mind, what about the Forsyth County Chamber do you think makes you stand out? Maybe what are you most proud of and what makes you stand out that a lot of other chambers might not be doing?
I think for me, it's the alignment of the idea that economic development and you know, in our county, we're the only economic development entity. We're the only tourism development entity. Those are housed within our organization, within the chamber. And that by itself has become over time pretty unique. And it certainly is in our region. The other part of that, though, that I think is really important is the alignment of goals and the alignment of the work. And a great example of that is, for us, a central feature of our tourism initiative is hosting national and increasingly international sporting events. A great example of this is we have one of the nation's largest cricket fields.
Right.
and it has an enormous following, and they are the folks that manage the facility are bringing folks from truly all over the world to play cricket. And of course, these go on for days. And it's been had a tremendous impact. So our economic development team has actually been now working with folks that are very interested in the audience for cricket, and people that are making cricket bats and cricket equipment. And there's a facility now completely separate from the cricket fields themselves that we're working with and opening that work with professional cricket players from around the world as a training facility. And so those are two departments working closely together around, and I'm using the cricket fields as one example, but you could repeat that in across the board. Film is also, commercial film projects are also centrally important. And so our economic development department and tourism development department, which oversees the film development work of the organization, work together to do things like get a new studio space out of the ground. And so we work very closely with them to try to get those two departments to work together. And they have, and I think that's really, from what, when I talk to my colleagues, often there's some competition there among the chamber and tourism and economic development. And we just, I think, have identified a path, at least, that works for our community and for us, of aligning those interests.
That's awesome. Now we just need to get into a couple more phases down the road of recovery after COVID-19 so we can get the cricket crowds back to your area.
That's right. Although I will tell you, I think that we're probably going to see those folks come back pretty early in that it's 100% outdoor. They have a small clubhouse, but I think they're going to be back at it here pretty soon.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. That kind of segues into the next question I have for you. I'd like for you to share maybe some of your plans, some of your thoughts about how you plan on leading your business community through the recovery from the economic impact from COVID-19 that almost every business is facing.
And that's right. I am extremely, extremely proud of our team. We had I called a staff meeting over the weekend on March 14th, and we talked about what we needed to do right out of the gate. We didn't have, of course, any real information about what the SBA was doing, what guidelines there would be, anything along those lines. We just knew that there was, the shutdown was coming, and we needed to take some immediate action. Within 48 hours, we had a named, branded, and initiative that had a standalone website called Together for FOCO. And so for us, a nickname for our community is FOCO. And so we used that, and it began really as a support your local business and buy local through this difficult time initiative. But very, very quickly, even I think a good bit before people were really looking at a specific recovery plan initiative, it became the recovery initiative. So we buttoned that up a bit by creating a plan around that, and that plan was to focus on continued efforts to get business people operating capital. To get them through what we believe to be to bridge it to the other side of the recovery, what we hope to be a relatively speaking short period of time that they would need that working capital. And by that was us providing direct support to companies, coaching them through the process of everything from what is an EIDL loan, what is a PPP loan. And in some cases, one member of our team really became a recognized expert in the area and was coaching through people through how to fill out those applications. So access to capital was one side of it. And there continues to be a strong effort in that initiative. Employment was the next. So we obviously, every community had some employers, grocery stores and places like Walmart and for us, Amazon, they couldn't hire enough people. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of other folks that were temporarily out of work. And so we created a platform to connect those folks through social media and through the website. And that continues. We rolled out a virtual job fair. We were the first in our region to do so. And we're doing them every Friday, focusing on a different industry as part of the recovery.
So how does that look, your virtual job fair? Is it like a Zoom meeting or I'm trying to visualize this?
We actually use the BlueJeans platform. There's a lot of reasons for that. Mainly, BlueJeans has a great tool for larger events that we use that's really reliable. And, you're not having to mute everybody's microphone. A lot of those things are built into it. But we use BlueJeans. But it has the same breakout feature. Breakout room feature. So we try to keep each group relatively small. We'll have 3 to 4 local employers. And that's the other thing is we try to make sure that it's folks that are providing local jobs and something that we also need them to be able to hire somebody pretty quickly. But we'll have 3 to 4 employers. It's all industry focused. And then folks sign up while they're on the call that they, for which employer they want to be in the breakout room with. Then they go into the breakout room. So there's an overall introduction to everybody. We break them out into the breakout rooms. And if folks want to switch around their time, so each breakout room will last 20 minutes or so, it gives the employer a chance to get some interpersonal communication and information. We have everybody post their resumes through the chat feature so that the companies can download that information quickly. And in most cases, the employers are posting information that the candidates can download. So we have actually been doing some coaching sessions for a few other chambers who have been doing this, who wanted to do this. I will tell you, we learned it all the hard way. and I'm happy for us to share that. But we have a remarkable two team members, Laura Stewart and Beth Harris on our team, who I really said, we've just got to figure this out. And really the only other platforms that were out there for job fairs the entry point on those were $45,000 and $50,000. And I said, well, that's, you know, that's obviously not something we're going to be able to bite off, at least right now. And they figured out a way to make it work, and it has been very successful. And you know, it's not hundreds and hundreds of people, but the people who are engaged in it, the people who are on, are finding jobs, and the employers that are hiring are getting good employees. A great example from last week, we had a person who had an engineering, industrial engineering background. He had two employers competing for him on the call.
Nice.
And so, you know, it's really, you know, in some ways it's held together with duct tape and baling twine, because we took a platform that was not intended for a job fair and made it one. But that's also, I think, how we're, you know, have been operating for a couple of months now and making it work. And it's also been successful.
Well, and right now is a great time for a business to hire. I mean, if they're in a position where they can't hire, there's a lot of great talent out there. So they should take advantage of it.
And that's absolutely right. Well, and the other part of that too is that we are working on with our education partners is there's also a lot of folks out there who have an opportunity to do some online learning and retool their skill set. We're fortunate that the state of Georgia has rolled out some free, open access, classes for everything from computer programming, website construction, marketing and project management, that sort of thing, where you can pursue a certificate. We're working with our university and community college at the moment, to roll out some more industry specific and community focused, programming, to help folks who, you know, they may have been in the restaurant industry for, a few years and are looking to do something different. And we're really encouraging folks to spend the time they have now to get that skill set so that they can go do something different with their career.
That's right. Great examples. Hopefully, you know, some of those chamber champions listening could take that back home and apply some of those to recovery in their communities as well. So, James, as we get towards the end of this interview here, I wanted to ask you to maybe share one action item that a chamber professional is listening could do to help take their chamber up to the next level.
Well, first of all, I feel somewhat inadequate in being able to answer that question. But I can tell you for me, what really changed, and I at least I felt like I was moving into a new level. I mean, I'd pursued and got my MBA, and certainly that was helpful. Working on securing a great team was helpful, and that included board development as well, to get leaders who really saw the power of the organization and really pushed me to do more, and ask tough, great questions. But really for me, to be very candid, the thing that I think truly has just changed my life is and my professional life, well, my personal life too, is really continuing on a lifelong path of figuring out who in the world I am, and knowing, you know, things that I once thought were strengths, particularly as I've gotten a little more experienced and older, I realize I have been fooling myself. They were not strengths. They were particular weaknesses, but they were not particular strengths. Things that I saw as weaknesses, I was wrong about some of those too. I mean, there were some things that I was right about, but really, you know, I think there's everybody finds their, I hope everyone finds their own path to really knowing themselves. And you know, I read, and listen to a lot of Brené Brown and really viewing what your vulnerability as your greatest strength. And once I, and she, you know, loves the term lean into it. Once I really adopted that as, and believed it and lived it, things really changed. Really. I mean, professionally, things changed for me enormously. And that isn't to say I haven't a lot left to learn. I do. And every day, this whole, you know, experience with COVID-19 has been a great example of that. But really, I know that I handled, this professionally, and personally, this, what we've endured as a country over the last, 9 to 10 weeks or so, I handled that very differently professionally than I did the Great Recession. The Great Recession really, I was a lot of the action that I took was misplaced or out of fear. And this has not been that way. It is, and I know, that really the basis of that, is knowing myself, knowing my own vulnerability and knowing, some of my strengths and many of my weaknesses. So, it's an overly simplified thing to say because it's an incredibly complicated process. And in many cases, it can be a very painful process. A very painful one. We're all carrying around this baggage of our lives. And, some of us all of us have some baggage we do not want to have to look at and consider and confront. So mm-hmm. I think it's, the more that we do that, the more we know ourselves, the better stewards, we are of our organizations, our communities, and the better family members and friends and colleagues we are.
I think it's good advice, and it's an important perspective to have as you look at any situation. So this next question, I look forward to the answer that I get from everybody that I ask. But as we look to the future of Chambers of Commerce, how do you see their purpose going forward?
You know, I think for as much as gets said about, you know, the whole world changing, and certainly recently those conversations. I really look, you know, at least at the chambers of commerce around the country that I have experience with, and they really have been, most of them have been very dedicated to improving the communities that they are in, and that they serve. That basis is one that I think is timeless. You know, whether we do that with a membership based model as compared to, an investment based model where, you know, membership means probably not as much as it used to. I suspect that is the case. We certainly are heading in that direction, but the idea that a chamber of commerce is, in my view, and I think really the future of the organizations across the country rest in, it is still the greatest tool to create community change that lasts and has a broad impact. That's the greatest tool that exists in the country and maybe the world. It's timeless. They transcend political changes. They transcend political leadership. They transcend even oftentimes community leadership. And I think that is where I see our organization continuing to head and broaden, that the tools that we use to accomplish that are very different and will continue to be very different. And I think, if anything, the only really, I think, truly meaningful change is how we adapt to that change and how nimble we can be. And some organizations and some organizational leaders are more nimble than others. And I think the ones that are the most nimble, and COVID-19 and our response to that as a country and our response to that as an industry has demonstrated being nimble and thoughtful about how you respond as a community and an organization makes all the difference for the future of your organization.
I love that answer. I think there is a lot of power that comes from having a community group as a chamber for in order to affect change. So great perspective. So James, as we wrap things up here, I wanted to give you an opportunity. If there's people in the audience that wanted to reach out to you and maybe follow up with you on anything that you've touched on throughout our conversation today or continue this offline, what would be the best way for them to reach out and get in touch with you?
Sure. Probably the best way is just call me on my mobile. I am available to particularly, I love talking to my colleagues around the country and to all of you. And actually that's been one of the nice things about COVID-19. It's really heightened my engagement with my colleagues. Uh-huh. And I have really, that has been very, very fulfilling and sort of, you know, helped me through some challenging moments. So, my mobile number is 770-842-4774. And I encourage you to give me a call. If that doesn't work, you can find me on our website and just drop me an email.
All right. I will put that on our show notes page and I'll make it easy for your email as well on the show notes page, which will be found at chamberchatpodcast.com/episode75. But James, I wanted to thank you for spending time with us today on Chamber Chat Podcast and wish you the best of luck to you and your chamber with the Chamber of the Year. And hopefully you guys have a good outcome there.
Brandon, thank you so much, and thank you for inviting me on to do this, and thank you again for what you do for all of us as chamber execs and the support you provide. We appreciate that a great deal.
If you are a chamber professional, please subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. When you subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast, new episodes will show up in your podcast app each week as they are released. If you're finding value in this podcast, please leave us a rating and a review in iTunes. But most importantly, please share Chamber Chat Podcast with your colleagues that are in the industry.